getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Welcome into the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thank you for joining us on a Wednesday. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Brendan Riker behind the glass, taking care of us. BPE makes his triumphant return. Hey, he's got some questions for us here in the next segment, 12:30. It's his play of the day. We're just going to put him to work all the way. Brendan paid employees money play of the day, 12:45. Kaylee's Dailies, and we'll go all the way up to 1:30 as the Red Raiders will finish their series with UT Arlington winning last night. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all that welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. What's up, Sneed?
What it do, y'all? What it do? How y'all been today?
Good. Did you make it out to the Chili Ballpark last night?
I did, and I apologize. I left early last night. I mean, when it was 7-1, and they were going to the bottom of the eighth, and I stood up and I quoted the Gary Ashby line. I know how it's going to end, and if it doesn't end that way, I don't want to be here to see it. So. I walked out. It's cold. I used the excuse of Shelby, young Shelby, being cold. I was actually cold too. So we left, and Texas Tech triumphed.
Now I know it got rather chilly last night. How cold did it actually get? I never actually.
I had my extremities were numb.
Cold enough.
Yeah, my digits.
Now, did you bundle up?
I had two jackets on last night. And I actually brought an extra jacket with me. And I went, yeah, go ahead and take it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm glad I did. And I spent some time in the stadium club last night.
This question somehow got brought up on Tech Talk yesterday with cold weather games.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this was a thing because I am not one. Usually I have like thermal stuff on if I know it's going to be cold. Now, yeah. I'm generally not going to cold baseball games. This is more like.
Is this the blanket question?
Yes. The Kansas-Texas Tech football game this year, which I was very excited to go be in with the crowd. I know I was wearing the wrong colors, but it was still fun. Really enjoyed the group that I sat around. They didn't enjoy you very much. No, they did because they won. So they did.
Funny how hospitable we are when we're good to go.
Yeah. There was one point where after the game was kind of in hand, and Jason Bean looked like he was going to turn the corner, and like one of the Red Raiders over to the right gave me like a almost turned that corner. I'm like, yeah, all right, buddy. But we brought a blanket to that. I'm for sure. We knew it was going to be freezing.
Yeah, my family, young Shelby had a blanket last night. The family's been known to bring a blanket. I'm a layers guy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I know it's going to be cold, and I mean if it's like Sunday, if they play Sunday when I get back, I am going to be wearing, you know, leggings and undershirts and kind of like my Seattle game. I wore every officiating piece of equipment I owned in that game, and I was pretty warm. I mean, and I've got, you know, we've got the little hand muff,
yeah.
Which I guess I can say this. It's not a bad word. We refer to it as the hand condom.
Yeah.
So the ones that punters wear, you know, when they keep their hands warm behind while they wait for the punt, the snap. Yeah, so I was wearing that in that game. I don't think I would wear that to a game, but I'd wear some leggings and stuff like that. I'm not really much of a blanket guy. That's kind of like giving in.
Really, the blanket that got brought specifically to that game is more for the wife. Because I would like her to go to the game with me.
Yeah.
But if she taps out, then what am I going to do? Like, okay, go wait in the car.
Yeah. See, like last night, you know, Shelby didn't tell me, but she had that. She was tapping out.
Yeah. It was didn't have to use words to convey the message.
No, I knew that she was. I knew she was not good.
Now, Red Raider baseball wins last night, 10-1. You mentioned it was four runs in the sixth, four runs in the eighth. Uh-huh. They really got it to that number. Zane Petty, first career start, looked pretty good on the mound.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. You know, the first couple of batters, it looked like, oh, this can be that good. And then you got him tough, a tie strikeout and a well-timed double play ball, pitcher's best friend, and he was good.
Yeah, we got two more double plays last night, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Leading the nation now.
26 total now, yeah. So there you go. It's funny because, you know, some of the errors, and I get, and we've talked about this with the young shortstops, errors have been somewhat of a worry, and someone doesn't know I'm on the air right now. But it's funny, you've really taken care of some of that with some double play ball. Yeah. And that kind of went into the getting behind in the count, walks, leading batters, reaching base quite a bit at times. But, hey, you look up, and you're one game away, and you're not looking past the nine, of course, but you're one game away from starting Big 12 playing.
Yeah.
Who's coming? Those Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yeah, and they're pretty good, by the way. They're every bit that as advertised. And you're going to have to play well to win this weekend. This is a team that they can pitch it, and they can hit it. So I mean,
from what you've seen from the rest of the Big 12, mm-hmm. I mean, certainly the premier series this weekend in the Big 12, and not everyone is playing a Big 12 opponent. Like Kansas playing like the Citadel, something like that.
No, that's right up about right about their speed.
Is this what you've seen? Do you think that this is a 1-2 right now heading into conference play as far as what you've seen in the non-conference? And not everyone's played.
Yeah, not everyone has played.
The same schedule.
Not, yeah. Let me see here. Let me get let's get here. I know Texas is, you know, TCU is, man, they keep dropping midweek games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not bad, but they keep dropping midweeks. And that's a problem. I mean, I hate to see that. No, I don't. I love it. But, you know, it's a tough for them. You know, it's.
Well, what was something that was kind of a complaint with the Red Raiders last year?
Midweeks.
Kept on dropping midweeks.
Midweeks. And that's the difference between you hosting and going and playing on the road at Georgia Southern.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, right now, if you're just going off record, which is not how you should do it, I mean, it is 1A, 1B. You're both 15-3. Yeah, well,
you're right now. But, I mean, you know, you're both 15-3. You're both killing it at home. The one good thing for them is that they've actually won a road game. And you haven't. Let's see. They've probably played a tougher schedule all the way around than you. You know, they went on they played Arizona State, who's not great this year. They've played Vanderbilt, they've played Arkansas, they've played Missouri, they've played some SEC schools. You know, they're not, you know, Utah Tech, formerly Dixie State. Austin Peay, they got the Governors there. Loyola Marymount. You know, if it was baseball, I mean, basketball, I'd be worried.
Hey, it is basketball.
We're about to find out. There's two teams that are both about to find out a lot about each other this weekend.
It's going to be a good series. Got UT Arlington this afternoon, then we'll go all the way up to 1:30, then we'll make way for it. It's the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score. When we come back, as per request, it's time to compete again in Take versus Take.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's back. It's another hour and a half show, which means we get to play Take versus Take.
Nice. Sneed. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I got off the schneid finally.
You did. You know, we had talked about it, and after we talked about it, I got it right. You had, I think you were 0-2 heading into last time.
Yeah.
And then you beat Kyler. Mm-hmm. You got on the board. Kyler's losing streak is 0-infinity.
Got the
right
dub.
Now. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. You'll be competing again today against me.
Mm-hmm.
As one, Brennan Riker has the questions.
Brennan, how would you rate your questions?
I mean, for coming up with them on the fly, I think they're pretty good.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right, man. Take it away.
All right. Question one. Kirby Hokut and the head coaching search committee, or whatever its name is, comes to you and say that you get to choose who the next head coach of the Texas Tech basketball team could be. It could be anyone. Who are you picking?
We're anyone, and they're going to come? Yes. They're going to come to Texas
they
Tech?
They have to come. You pick them, and they have to come.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Okay. Anyone, and they have to come. Well, I don't want Bill Self because I don't want that toupee around here.
Just bringing health concerns right now.
Yeah. We want him out to be alive. I still like Jay Wright. But I'm trying to think of a guy who's just knocking it out. I want to stay with Jay Wright. I'm going to stay Jay Wright. Yeah.
Clint?
Mm. Just because they can't say no doesn't mean that they're going to like it here. And that's what holds me back from a Jay Wright type.
Mm.
I'm still going with my kind of pick for not going to happen, never going to happen, that kind of make them say no. And maybe not never, because it's not quite on the level of Jay Wright.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still such a huge Shock a Smart fan. I think Texas kind of shot themselves in the foot.
I do too.
And I get that they didn't see the Chris Beard situation happening, but I think they ran off a terrific young coach. And this is what I like about Shock a Smart is he is young and has a ton of talent. He's shown that he can do it in a mid-major level. And I think that there were some things that Texas did wrong with him and kind of held back a little bit on what his success could be. And I think he's immediately showing that with Marquette, a predominantly basketball school. I love Shaka. Shaka Smart would be fantastic here.
You know, I would say this. Texas can be its own worst enemy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What they did to Shaka Smart and beyond that, what they did to Charlie Strong was unconscionable. I mean, the fact of the matter is that they just, I don't know. They get what they deserve down there. They get what they deserve. And guess what? Rodney Terry, you're short of winning the national championship, you have zero chance of getting that job. I'm just going to say that right now. Have zero chance of getting that job.
I was reading a source to say that Texas may be interested in Jamie Dixon. Please do that. That would be hysterical.
Yeah.
That would make Jamie Dixon even more insufferable.
And with Shaka too. But do I think that he's the best of the best out there? No, but I also want someone that I like, and I really like Shaka Smart.
Well, the point's going to go to Clint. I do like Clint's answer. I think, you know, as much as you would want a winner like Jay Wright in your program, he's old, he's retired, you wouldn't know how long he'd be around. Second.
He's my age.
He's so old. He is ancient.
But the guy's like 54.
He's basically decrepit.
He's not old. Wait a second, Brennan paid employee. I'm going to come over there and put hands on you.
He's so old.
Wait a second.
He's
here.
Walking
hang on,
dust.
Hang on. I'm going to make sure about this. I think he and I are the same age.
The exact same age?
Well, either way.
All right. We're not the exact same age. He's 61. My bad. Yes. I thought he was 54.
See, that's the thing.
You're
not going to keep him for a long time in your program as long as you'd have a guy like Shaka Smart on paper. I don't know. I like Clint's answer better.
Okay.
All right. Let's get on to question two and move on.
His theme was about to break through the glass.
Wait a second. Wait, what?
I thought we could go an hour and 30 minutes without a Sneed rant, and I said,
you know what? Hey, there's no rant there. I actually worked myself up into a frenzy driving here, thinking about yesterday's show, about one of the texters that texted in yesterday. I got myself so twisted up.
Just carried over. All right, take it away.
All right,
question number two.
All right. Question number two is, as a fan, what is your worst NCAA March Madness memory?
Farouk Manesh, Northern Iowa. I hate you forever. Forever, forever, forever. The Missouri Valley champs taking out the... I hate that guy so much. And the name that is burnt into my memory, Farouk Manesh. It's in my nightmares of the NCAA tournament. And I don't even know that. He's probably like an accountant somewhere now. Or... he's working at a desk somewhere, and a lot of people that are around in his office don't realize like how much of a baller he was, at least for one tournament run. Kansas fans remember Farouk Manesh forever. Freaking Northern Iowa. I hate them.
Sneed?
As a Tech fan, obviously the freshest one is you know, the championship game. But you can go back to 1996 and just a gut-wrenching performance against Georgetown where they basically let a trip to the first Elite Eight slip away, losing to Georgetown with Allen Iverson and a big dude named Jahidi White. That one was painful to watch. I could go a quick 1A to the UTEP Miners losing to the Bradley Braves in the round one, team that you were a 20-point favorite over. It was a 12-5, and it was like, what was this, one of the first 12-5s to happen. You were a 20-point favorite, and these guys, they shoved it on the Miners that day.
We actually talked about one yesterday too. Now, I was a little bit too young. I was still upset. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like the understanding upset, but the Bucknell loss, that one sucked. And then, speaking of Shaka Smart, the Elite Eight VCU loss, that one stung. Because it was like, this team has no right.
There's eight.
And they were good. That team was good.
The 1984 UTEP losing to Spud Webb and NC State, 84-82 in the pit. The year after the national championship win in the pit, UTEP is playing NC State that next year and had NC State down the entire game and lost to them at the very end. This is pre three point line era.
Look at Ali Farouk Manesh's dumb face. Just look at him all hugging into the round of 32.
I'll give the point. Congratulations. You mentioned a lot of. Games there, Sneed. You mentioned the national championship run. That obviously hurts everyone who's a Tech fan and watched basketball in the past 5 years. But I'm going to give the point to Clint.
What are you trying to just do this? Is this Clint, because I said I was going to put my hands on you?
Clint worked himself up.
I can work myself up to do a frenzy?
By the way, the six-footer from Northern Iowa, I was wrong. He's an assistant coach for Colorado State. Good for you.
All right, last question. This is for the sweep or the just the series win.
You're just trying. I see. Would. You just don't want me to get even. I see. See how you referees and judges are? It's all fixed. It's all rigged. It's how it is all the time. It's just all rigged. I already knew how the outcome was going to happen. We already knew it.
Would you rather draw up the absolute perfect bracket in a March Madness, game, mm-hmm. or like where you get to draw it up and pick who you think? Would you rather drop a perfect bracket but never get to tell anyone ever or miss every first round matchup and have everyone know about it?
I mean, I would rather draw up the perfect bracket and no one know, because then I get the cash, right? Mm-hmm. I get the scratch, right? Don't I?
Yeah, I was about to say, give it to whatever my pseudo name is. I'm doing the perfect bracket.
Yeah.
And I don't have to tell anybody.
I mean,
because I'm just
every year
there will be signs.
Every year, choice list is every game in the first row. Every year, we all know about it because he's got 78 brackets.
I don't have a much different answer, but same thing. Like I know I can't say it, but I'm doing the perfect bracket, and there will be signs.
Yeah,
cash flowing out of my ESPN.
I'll be nice and give the point to Sneed. I know y'all said the same answer, this is a pity point.
I said it better.
That's pretty nice of you, Brandon. That was very nice of you.
But, I mean, it's a rig. It's all rigged. Damn referees.
I gave you a point. Script.
Damn referees are always rigged.
Take it back. Give it to me. It's not too late.
Rigging stuff.
Oh, that was fun. It's the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Back with more next.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Thank you for joining us on a Wednesday. Red Raider Baseball coming up at 1:30, Game 2 against UT Arlington after winning yesterday in Game 1. With Scott, Chris Snead, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. You can hit us up on the H-Flinter Center chat line, thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that. Welcome there. It's time now for a Wednesday edition of Kaylee's Dailies.
Tweet!
Yes.
BPE.
Oh, the anticipation.
Have you ever heard of a swamp hen? A swamp hen.
I have not. Sounds like something you get after Chipotle.
What do you think that a swamp hen would look like?
I just assume it's like a normal chicken, but it's covered in mud.
BPE?
I think it's like, I don't know, a chicken from Louisiana. I don't know.
Well, if you're imagining a large, awkwardly shaped bird, you would be correct.
That's not what I had.
Swamp hens have large, round bodies with thin necks and red crusted head feathers, which regard them as royalty.
Royalty!
In some Polynesian cultures, yes. They also sport long, large, elongated feet with three toes. Not like sloth, but different. That give them a superior ability for catching fish after prey. Swamp hens have and also know to utilize their large feet to walk across floating aquatic vegetation. So in a way, swamp hens possess the ability to walk on water.
How about that?
Yeah.
Swamp hen.
The swamp hen.
On water. The swamp hen. These things are weird looking.
They are weird looking. They are a weird looking lot.
And this is not, yeah, this is not what I had pictured at all.
No.
Looks like a chicken and a crow.
Well, it looks kind of like a jayhawk. It kind of does.
What a big blue ugly
it looks
bird.
Like it's a big blue chicken with a large beak. It's a jayhawk.
This sounds, you know what? Have you ever seen this? Like, okay, you've never seen this mascot before, and we're going to have this kid draw it.
Yeah.
It's like if they did that game with the jayhawk. Like, all right, it's like it's a blue and red bird. Like, this is what they would draw.
This is a...
That's the Jayhawk logo.
It's a Jayhawk. It is a Jayhawk.
This maybe is the what was
swamp
it?
Ends.
The 50s.
The swamp ends.
The 50s one. The old sexy legs Jayhawk.
Yeah, the long one. Still wearing buckled shoes for no apparent reason.
Kind of caveman wall drawing to human growth from the old Jayhawk to this Jayhawk. It's very fun too.
That is a Jayhawk. At.
That's 1,000% a Jayhawk. That's mid-transition to what's
I think we're going to stop
that
1,000 people
right
at 6th and Avenue O.
That is right before the 80s
is this
angry
a Jayhawk.
Is
this a Jayhawk?
The swamp hen.
The Jayhawk now is not angry.
No, the 80s angry Jayhawk. Because that they of the Jayhawk iterations.
The iterations? Okay,
it
let's see
from
here.
Like
80s.
The different eras. The 80s was the angry Jayhawk.
80s angry Jayhawk logo. Okay.
This is right before that one.
Okay. He doesn't look very angry. He doesn't look very angry at all. Okay, let's
here
look
you go.
At this.
Yeah, this guy. Right there. Beak's a little bit longer.
That doesn't look long. That doesn't look angry at all.
He's got a... Well, it's the eyebrow going down. That's why they call it the angry.
But if I look at the Jayhawk. 1912 Jayhawk... And a swamp hen right here. Look at the 1912.
Yeah, that's sexy lake Jayhawk. That's the one. Yeah. I wasn't going back far enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I look at that guy and then I put a swamp hen next to it, it's the same animal. See, it's the same bird.
Yeah, I didn't go back far enough.
Y'all the swamp hens.
Swamp hens.
Swamp hens. Go, swamp hens. Let's go get the bison. Go, swamp hens.
Rock, chalk.
Rock, swamp hens. Rock, chalk. Swamp hens. What is that? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Swamp him. You.
So close.
Sorry.
Perfect, Sneed.
I kind of want to eat one of these things. I don't know why. I just feel like it's
going to
be delicious.
I don't think they probably taste good.
It looks like it's going to be delicious.
It's a blue chicken.
This one especially.
It's a blue chicken.
This one is that. I didn't go back far enough. The 1910s logo. That's so funny.
Yeah.
We get a LOL. That is totally a Jayhawk. Laughing face, laughing emoji, that crying is, face, laughing, laughing.
I think Shelby, not Shelby. Oh, what's the other kid's name? Kaylee. Oh, angry text from Kaylee in 3, 2.
Okay, multiple kid parent. How often did you do the, you went through the wrong names till you got to the right name when a kid was
girls,
in trouble?
Three girls, two of them with K names.
Yeah.
Kaylee, Cassidy, Shelby, Kaylee.
See, that's how we always knew who got in trouble the most.
Yeah.
Because it's, for us, Nicole the oldest, Kelsey the middle, Clint the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was always my name first as they were getting to the older one. Yeah. So it tells you who typically was the one that was in trouble.
Growing up, we had a dog named Clyde. And my dad, Clyde, Chris, get in here. And I was like, yeah, okay. I love that man. And it, but I mean, half my life, I thought I was Clyde.
Was the dog an indoor dog or an outdoor dog?
He's indoor. Clyde the word dog.
So y'all would both converge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We would. Clyde! Chris!
Did it at least happen the other way, too? Like,
no,
like digging
no,
in the trash?
It never happened
Chris,
the other
get
way.
Out of the trash!
Yeah.
And Clyde!
No,
Chris Clyde!
No. He was always.
Clyde! Chris!
Yeah.
Who are you? That was always my favorite. Like, my grandpa would go through the same name, especially for all, like, the nieces and nephews. And at the end, he would always ask, which one are you? And he knew.
Who are you?
Whichever one you are.
Well, it's like in my family, so my name's obviously Brennan, but my dad's brothers, all of his kids, the last name started with B-R, and he has 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So when my papa wants one of the grandkids, when we have a family gathering, there's no telling what name is going to come out of his mouth and if he means that name or not.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a grandpa name?
Yeah, Big Paul.
Oh, okay. Did you pick it out, or was that picked out for you?
Oh, I picked that out.
Okay.
You know who else is this Big Paw?
Oh, it's Chuck, isn't
Chuck.
It?
Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Big Paw PA. I'm Big Paw PAW. That's right. I totally biting off his grandpa name.
Well, you got to be careful, because you don't know like how it's going to be said yet, right? Like my mom right, picked out.
HR, Hallie Ray says B-Paw. She's B-Paw?
That's pretty close.
She goes, B-Paw.
Well, there is a professor at LCU who wanted to be named... biblical reference or something with it. He wanted to be called Moses for his grandpa name, which I thought was funny. And it came out as Moface. And that's what they call him forever, is Moface. Like my mom.
Moface.
My mom wanted to be called Grams.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it came out as Bits.
Nice.
So there you go. Yeah, it's that for now. It's close.
Yeah. But so I've got my daughter down there reinforcing Big Paw. And that's
Moface.
Moface. No, I'm Big Paw. B-Paw. I'm B-Paw for now.
B-Paw.
B-Paw.
I like B-Paw better than Big Paw.
Big Paw is what we're going to be.
B-Paw.
I got a hat.
What up, B-Paw? What up, B-Paw?
B-Paw!
Great. Now we go from BPE to B-Paw.
No, oh, yeah. Whichever one of you gets in trouble, B-Paw, BP, which one are you?
Mm-hmm.
Sneed, I think his name is Avery Johnson. Yeah, it was Avery
Johnson. What did I say? Avery Smith?
It's Avery Smith.
My bad.
Whatever.
It is Avery Johnson. I was just so excited that he was on the radio.
maybe it's just because I put him with, okay, these are the now and where he is now.
Yeah.
This is now the start of March Madness.
Yeah.
I hear his voice and I get excited because I'm like, all right, it's tournament time. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. From Clay, the Jayhawk is the result of a genetic experiment gone wrong at the Kansas State Veterinary School.
Probably true.
Mm. Clay said my ex's grandmother called me her ex-husband's name.
Mm.
Ouch. And we'll have Red Raider Baseball coming up at 1:30 as we wrap up hour number one and hour number
Half? What are we going to do in the second hour? Are we going to have some fun?
Oh, we're going to have some fun.
We're going to run wild. We're going to run amok.
We're going to run amok.
Amok, 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 amok.
We're going to do that. It's going to be a Viking BPE and BPAW. Hanging out with you. Is that what, are you going to do that if they stick with BPAW? You're going to be like,
no, I'm not sanctioned. Fine.
With the nicknames.
So, Clint, I went to McDonald's and I ate a kid's meal.
Uh-huh.
Boy, his mom really got mad at me.
I like that. It's good. I got told a dad joke I really liked the other day from the Visual Edge IT hotline.
Nice.
When the chicken crossed the road.
Why?
Because it's the bottom line, 100.7 the score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score.
Got us on 100.7 the score, 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. Thanks for joining us as we're live from the First United Bank studio. Hey, you can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the H Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We'll have Red Raider Baseball right here at 1:30, 30 minutes, taking on UT Arlington. Misspoke earlier. First four is on Double T 97.3, 5:30 and 8 o'clock tonight. So, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, the old red marker over there.
What it do?
Double T 97.3. Yeah, so most likely, if you're looking for Tech Talk over there between baseball and first four, probably not going to have any Tech Talk over there. They might sneak in 10 minutes or so, depending on how quick the game goes. I don't know. Do we know if there's a curfew pitch today?
Really, I do not know that. They bust over here. There's probably no curfew.
Hmm.
They clearly bust over here. If they chartered or they flew commercial over here, I want to know why they play in such of a dump of a baseball park. Then.
Right.
Because if they got the scratch to charter over here,
mm-hmm.
then we're doing that. We're not doing it right.
Hey, we're not all the way there, but we have had a glimpse of some warmer weather. We're about to be in much hotter weather. After Easter, because it's always cold on Easter, and then after that, it's like a billion degrees, right?
Well, you have to, if you've lived here long enough, you know, you wouldn't have planted anything. If you've planted anything, you knew that was just, you had to, for some sake, that you had to have something pretty looking there. Because you know good and well, if you plant something right now, it will be dead in the next couple of days. Because mm-hmm. you have that late, you know, you get hit spring, and then you have that freeze, that last mm-hmm. freeze. And it always comes in and around Easter.
So we're not all the way to what would be labeled as hotter weather. But it's within sight as far as months go.
Zach Brown.
When it gets toasty, are you a popsicle fan? Popsicle fan in general?
I'm not really a big fan of ice on the stick.
Mm. What about inside the tube? That's the best version.
The push pop. That was that. The push pop used to be the go-to for me from the ice cream man. And you have to understand, the ice cream man was, when I was of that age, the ice cream man was a treat because we lived in Germany, and the ice cream man only literally came like once a month. Mm. However, the pomfret man, which was the French fry man, showed up every week. And that was when I was introduced to poutine.
Yeah. The gravy and the cheese.
Yeah, I was like, why would I want gravy on my French fries? The French fries were awesome, but why would I want gravy on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's like.
Yeah. But we only got the ice cream guy would roll through there like once a month.
Did you know? Like, was it? Were you? No, was it pretty steady time, or was it like you heard it, you drop everything? Use
everything. You'd be playing across the street or something like that. Oh my God! It's like Eddie Murphy, ice cream,
elbowing kids. Get out of the way! Get out of the way!
It's like if you ever heard the Eddie Murphy Delirious, you know you go to the mom. Don't have some money. The ice cream man is coming. Get yourself a toasted almond, Bob. Get yourself a banana cone.
Give yourself a dilly bar and bring back my change.
Brennan, are you a... Oh, sorry. No, answer now while you're chewing. Popsicle fan?
Sure.
Yeah?
I mean, that was the childhood. It's, you know, mm-hmm. the ones where you go to the store and they're in a bag. They're not frozen already.
Oh, yeah. They them in the freezer. They're in the netted bag.
Mm-hmm. It's that red netted bag. And then throw them in the freezer. A couple hours later, you just start throwing them out to all the kids in the neighborhood. And, of course, if you didn't have scissors, which we never used them,
no.
just tear it off with your teeth.
Yeah, cut the edge of your mouth and make yourself look like the Joker, Heath Ledger style, with it. That's what we did,
you
too.
You want to know how I got
this? Yeah, it's from
these. I got it from the popsicle thing.
Well, there's a new popsicle, that's being released.
I think I've heard about this.
The Coors Light popsicle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to coincide with March Madness.
Okay.
They're non-alcoholic, so the whole family can enjoy them together.
Give your six-year-old a Coors Light popsicle. In my best Ryan Reynolds, I'm going to look at you both and say, but why? I mean, because first of all, I don't need Coors to give me some tricked up beer flavored popsicles. Mm-hmm. I can just open up a Coors and an ice tray with mm-hmm. some toothpicks and freeze those bad boys myself. And guess what? They will have alcohol in them. Although I can't have those until after Lent.
They are, they're called Coorsicles.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I love that it also said that they're, you know, for the whole family, but yet where they're like,
here, little
through,
Johnny.
Through 800 bars. That's where you have to go find them.
Yeah,
or order them.
Little Johnny, hey, we're all going to sit down and watch the first four here. Dad's going to have a Coors Popsicle. Why don't you join in? It's like family time.
Mom, you know I only drink the Pabst Blue Ribbon Sickles.
Oh, there are so many questions.
It just doesn't sound good to me.
But once again, but why?
It doesn't sound good
but
to
why?
Me.
Were we clamoring? Are we trying too hard now with alcohol? I mean, we've got the fizzy seltzers, we've got the hard water, we've got the iced tea, we've done everything we can do to our iced tea. You got hard tea, the sweet tea, and all these things you can do to the teas. I mean, are we trying too hard? What happened to just a good old fashioned rum and coke?
You know, that's interesting because I feel like I notice a new seltzer all the time, either through ads or just walking through like the gas station and they're just being pushed.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I see a new tea based place.
Yes.
Every single day. Like, where did this one come from?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, now, I mean, I have my own strange and weird, funny tea story to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that another time. But I didn't know that we were clamoring for 17 different versions of hard iced tea and 25 different versions of seltzers. I mean, was someone clamoring? Like, you know what would be great? A Bud Light seltzer. That would be great.
When I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would venture to guess, even though it was not asked for, feel like I see them everywhere being like actually in someone's hand.
Yeah.
Even at a game. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And I saw that the NCAA has approved, you know, because before all you could have was beer. They've approved now seltzers available for consumption and wide consumption at NCAA events now.
Hmm.
So now you can all the different hard seltzers that you want to get, all those things, yeah, you can have those.
You can have them
to your heart's content.
So you can
get up there. You can go about 17 deep in those, and then you can yell at the referees. Ah, how can you miss that down there? I clearly saw it up here.
Well, White Claw is kind of the stereotype, right? That started all that. And then, like, your Budweisers, your Bud Lights. Like, everybody now suddenly has.
I mean,
but it's a smart thing to do.
There's a stereotype. There's a definite demographic of people that are rocking the White Claw. And I don't want to talk about choice on the air that way.
Tell you, the White Claw pool is exactly what it sounds like. Gold trim, just full of, and he has it drained every day by Janine and refilled with a new flavor. She has to hand pour in. White Claw in the pool. Oh man. She gets what calls the White Claw cramps because she's opened so many cans to fill this pool. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
This is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Back for one more Red Raider baseball against UT Arlington, game two, coming up next. 100.7 The Score, and also over on Double T97.3.
That's cool.
Tune into.
That's cool.
The Score, Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Brendan Racker behind the glass. Hit one it, more man. To hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. I just showed Sneed the picture of the Kansas State dog that was at the Big 12 tournament with their food items. It's the worst looking thing of all time.
That was not attractive at all. And the artistic, the one that they tried to make it look good, looked worse than the one that they actually showed.
Yes. It's funny because I always have this, not complaint, feel like maybe it used to be a complaint in my younger days because I didn't understand. Hey, this commercial where it's probably not even all food and they have things where they've propped up like a burger and it looks awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, come try this cheese explosion. Look how ooey gooey the cheese is and bacon and all this stuff. And you got the lighting on it and you're watching this ad. He's like, oh, man, that looks delicious. And it looks like it's like a foot tall. And then you order it from whatever insert place, and it's like a little dumpy thing. You're like, this is not the same. This is the opposite of that.
Yeah. You know, although, there's companies out there that's their entire job.
Right.
Is to go out and make food presentable so that when you actually look at the food that they show, this juicy burger in the burger joint commercial, it's probably not even real food.
You get like a delicious looking thing of ice cream, but it's like toothpaste that they've frozen. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy looking, and it's like, hey, this stuff is not actually real food here. So, and there's lots of food coloring and lots of things that to enhance what would look good, but it's actually not very good food. Those enhanced deals.
But the Kansas State dog, by the way, Brett Yormark has really been killing it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They had great, great numbers from the Big 12 tournament. I think it's the best that they've had. I think what was announced the other day. But one thing that they need to make sure that they never do again is that Kansas State hot dog.
Well, was it a taste of the areas of the schools?
Yes.
I mean, why wouldn't they bring? They have they've got a full on dairy on their campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why wouldn't they bring something of a dairy product?
And there was only one dessert, and it was Baylor's float because of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And they had a great opportunity to do ice cream.
What did we do?
Texas Tech was a burger.
I was going to say, Texas Tech meat?
It looked really, really good.
Yeah, the Texas Tech meat.
Barbecue burger. Yeah,
Texas. That's how we do it.
Texas's was a quesadilla that looked okay. Kansas's was a...
They probably brought it in from California.
Kansas's was a barbecue mac and cheese. It looked pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Was it Gates? Can I help you? Can I help you? You know what? Here's the deal. All you Kansas City people that are sitting around, it's like, oh yeah, Gates guy, Arthur Bryant's. I don't care. All your barbecue is garbage, okay? It's all garbage. Yeah, I said it. I said what I said. All your barbecue is garbage.
All right. I'm not a fan of burnt ends over there.
Well, you know what? I have those down here, and they taste better.
Mm. Mm. You know, and I've never really gotten into the barbecue war.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. And Kansas City was my favorite for a long time because it was the style that was around me. And I was farther away.
Yeah.
I'm complete opposite corners. But, man... I just like all barbecue. And I know that there's a difference. I like the Carolinas. I love the Carolinas.
Hey, I grew up in North Carolina. I lived there for the first third of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to Texas, first thing I says, I can't believe I've been eating that drivel, that mustard-based crap that they've been eating out there in North Carolina. I mean, when I go back to North Carolina, you know what I don't get? Barbecue. Because it's awful. Awful.
I like the Carolinas barbecue. I love Texas barbecue. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest bonuses of moving down here that I didn't know was going to be a bonus. There's been like little things that just wasn't work, so it wasn't from the area. I still think my favorite has turned into Tennessee barbecue, though. When I've got to go
barbecue,
over there.
I'm going to say Southern barbecue, and I'm saying Deep South barbecue, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, parts of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Parts of Georgia?
Right.
Because some of those people in Georgia, they kind of float up to the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
and they're putting that mustard-based crap on there. but I'll tell you, I'm a rib guy, and some of the best ribs I have ever had are not going to be from Arthur Bryant's or Gates. Dreamland Barbecue in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My Lord. Oh, my Lord. I get, whew, whew, my man. Hey, Dreamland Barbecue.
And typically how I dive in, though, whew, like to an area's barbecue is like the ones that aren't, like you threw out Gates. Big one. Everyone, if you know barbecue, or I mean, if you are looking for barbecue places and you go to that area, that's going to be one of the first ones that pop in. Dude, give me the Shacks. Give me the Shacks that no one's heard of.
Absolutely.
And you got some dude in his 80s that's a pit master.
He's been doing that for ever.
We got
a place out here over there on North Frankfort. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. You might have accidentally said the name of it.
Take off the S.
That's one of my favorite, my favorite barbecue joints.
I'll tell you what, if it's one of those places, and it's like this for barbecue everywhere, when you get these kind of small, locally owned, not kind of the big pumped up ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk in, and you walk in, and it's a place that says open from
here
10:30 till
we run
out.
Till we run out.
And you walk in and you see the little stickers over everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I'm coming back to this tomorrow, but I'm going to get here a lot earlier.
I'm going to get here earlier. You know, the kind of place I want to go to is the kind that has the line out the door.
Right.
And the line out the door don't lie.
Right.
And you know what? I went to both of those places in Kansas City. Ain't no line out the door.
I've never I've never pushed those, though.
Every
Kansas City barbecue.
Other than the two that the people that came with me. Wouldn't have lied.
I think that's a great... The Kansas City barbecue that I like, they're from, like, buildings that look like if you push them, like, if you lean up against it, it's going to fall over.
That's the kind you want right there.
That's the place that you want.
Yeah, so, I mean, I want to go Texas barbecue, Southern barbecue, like they said in Moneyball, 50 yards of crap, then Kansas City barbecue, and then another 100 yards of crap, and then Carolina barbecue.
And again, I don't have a strong enough like Kansas City barbecue pride to push it for someone that doesn't like it.
Yeah,
I just know that I find the strengths and weaknesses and a good player on a roster.
No, I mean,
I find the strengths and weaknesses of all barbecue.
When my wife and I went to Seattle, you know, we're looking for a place to go on the anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and she goes, "I found a barbecue joint,"
mm-hmm.
and I went, "Stop!" And she says, "What?" I said, "You seriously came 1,700 miles to the west, West Coast, to a place where they throw fish around here."
Yeah.
And you, with a straight face, said, let's go to a barbecue place? I mean, it's like, hey, I tell you what, why don't we here in Lubbock, Texas, why don't we go find us a nice, good pesto? You know? What do you think? Well, we wouldn't want to go do that. Right! Exactly. So, while we're out here, what do you say we try some seafood?
Where's the West Texas Fresh Fish Market? I've been looking for it. Taste of the ocean.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what I say? If you don't see the water, man, don't eat the fish.
That being said, now
it's. I mean, it's
now it's.
If you can't see the water, don't eat the fish.
Get the. You get some of your lake water fish down here. Pretty good. Texas has some tasty crappie, man.
Okay.
Now, typically, I'm not ordering that because you can't really find that in a restaurant, but
come over
to my house in spring.
But I will tell you this. I mean, I had some of the best salmon I've ever had in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I was just imagining that, you know, hours ago, this thing was swimming around in Puget Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then they caught that bad boy, and now he was on my plate.
Ah, man.
He was good. You were good.
Yeah, I need my. I'm glad they're closer, but I need my brother-in-law and sister to move back to the coast because when we got to go see them, that was the best part.
Yeah.
We get this on the chat line. Was in Mississippi and they had no idea about hot links or smoked sausage barbecue.
They don't
might as
do
well
that.
Have been speaking in Klingon.
That they don't do that. That's not what they do. But I tell you what, man. You want some ribs? Well, I tell you what.
Well, that's something, and that's something
now I'll tell you this.
Like what you like about Texas barbecue, if you're going to another any region, you can't have the same expectation. Like
I don't.
Like you have to figure out what they do well.
But you know what? You know, here's the thing. Texas, we do brisket well, we do ribs well, we do sausage well, we do pork well. I mean, if you want to go to the East Coast, you can get you a lot of pork sausage. Yeah,
that's Sam. I'm craving some pork ribs now after we've talked about this.
That's okay.
That's my favorite. Hey, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Brennan. Thanks to Sneed.
I'll see y'all next week, y'all.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.